Benfica Podcast is one of the founding members of Benfica Independent. Benfica Independent is an independent platform made by fans for fans. And in it, you can find our podcast along with many other podcasts, along with articles of opinion, video segments, and much, much more. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/Benfica Independent with exclusive contents for our patrons.
Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo. Sí, es un club que tiene una grandeza que no se comprende si no estás aquí dentro.
Son de una magia única, benfiquista, que solo nosotros sentimos así. Por muchos desgostos que possamos tener, valores más altos se levantan. E o valor mais alto que se levanta em termos futebolísticos chama-se Benfica.
Quero o Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quero o manto sagrado entrar com vocês em qualquer estado e assustá-los, pá! É isso que eu quero!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. My name is Alfredo Fumasas, with you always, every week. This week, a little late, but we're early on time. Dave, that's got to be a first. Dave's here. Dave, what's happening, man? You've been off for a while.
What's going on? Extended summer vacation for me, but great to be back for another season. And yeah, late or early, it all depends on when you listen to it, but... great to be back on this week.
Yep. Let me say hello to all the Freddies that are joining us. DJ Natural Fire was the first one here. Chico Marcelino, Carpe Diem, Pedro dos Santos, Bom Dia from Down Under. Good day, mate. Manny Valadão, Bruno Gil Rodrigues, Diogo Reis is a Nazaré. And that's the guys we got so far, man. But people, I'm pretty sure that people are gonna pour in. Like you always do. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast, episode number 493. Tonight we'll discuss the Super Cup against Porto, that start of the season that we felt so good about, only to be shut down after the game against Boavista at the Bessa this past Monday. And obviously the reason why we're coming to you a little late is because I was at the game and I just got back yesterday after my flight was canceled on Tuesday. It seems like a typical occurrence these days that flights get canceled. But yeah, I was supposed to come back on Tuesday. Flight was canceled. Came back on Wednesday, so got here yesterday, and that's why we're doing a podcast today. So here we are, all of you guys that are enjoying your vacations out there and are taking the time to listen to us and to watch us. We appreciate that greatly. But Dave, you've been a while, man. I know that your status has changed. I hope that everything has gone well with you and now your wife. And you know, have you gotten used to calling her the wife yet?
My wife, yes.
My wife.
No real changes. My wife. I made sure to use that line a lot these last couple of weeks. But yeah, no real changes. We've been together here for a while now. So it was good to be on our honeymoon the last couple of weeks. But Benfica was still a big priority. Even in all of the wedding speeches, once I get the videos, I'll have to post them. But everyone's wedding speech had some sort of Benfica reference, whether it was good or bad. So Benfica, as I told my wife, was my first love, and she has to share that first love with me.
Just let us know if the sound is okay. I forgot to ask about that. I know that previous weeks we've had some sound problems. Just let us know how the sound is. Dave sounds a little low on my headphones, but maybe fine for you guys. Anyway, Dave, let's go, Dave. Let's go. Super Cup. Benfica played Porto in the Super Cup. It seems like a, a long time ago, a little bit over a week ago, last Wednesday, as we record this on a Thursday. So it was a week ago yesterday that we played Porto in an obvious, always an important game, and always a game that brings out the nerves in all of us Benfiquistas when we play against Sporting. It seems like Porto always has our number, but the result was a lot better in the second half, at least than the first half. I'll give you the lineups, and then we'll get into a little bit of the game. Vlaco Dimas was in goal, Ba Silva, Otamendi, and Ristic, João Neves, Kokshu, João Mário, Auschnes, Di Maria, and Rafa. And Dave, I had Red Baron here last week, and Red Baron and I were talking about a possibility of Benfica playing without a striker. Obviously, we were right after we lost Gonçalo Ramos to PSG. We weren't really sure who we were going to go with, and we were talking, Red Baron and I were talking about in terms of... Maybe Benfica introduces a more mobile front that's going to pull Pep out, that's going to put the other center back out of position, and maybe have him create those holes as they step in. And that's what Roger Schmidt went with. What I didn't really get was how João Mário and Auschwitz were on the field at the same time. It just felt a little odd to me. It's maybe too defensive for me. And Benfica struggled in the first half. Benfica... Was pinned back against their box. They really couldn't build up too much because Porto had a very high line of pressure, and Benfica struggled in that first half to get anything going. And I don't know. I'm looking at this game at halftime. I'm thinking, man, here we go again. That fear, that classic fear that we have of playing Porto, where they always come into our house or they play us and they do whatever they feel like it with no regard for us. What were your feelings like at halftime, Dave?
Yeah, watching that first half, we couldn't really create any opportunities. And I guess in a way we did well to weather the storm there in the first half. But at halftime there was not feeling confident that it was going to be a long night. But luckily Roger Schmidt picked up and saw what we were seeing there in the first half and made the appropriate adjustments. But without the striker there, I don't think, hopefully that's the last we see of that lineup here for the rest of the season. Given the circumstances, I can't agree with Roger Schmidt's thinking on that, but that first half, the team just looked in shambles and out of sorts. They're not something that they're used to playing in that type of style. So luckily we made the changes at halftime, and it was a different team in the second half.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I thought that there's very, very few times where Roger Schmidt is sometimes, I don't want to be biased because of the Boavista game, but we'll get into that in a little bit. But there's been a few times where Roger Schmidt has had a good read on a game. And I think that maybe he tried to go for that mobile front, and then when he realized that it wasn't working, okay, let's revert this back. In the 46th minute, or right at the half, he brought in Jurasek for Ristic, and he brought in Musa for João Mário, which was... It changed a lot. And regardless of whether the team really got down and absorbed the good talk at the halfway in the locker room. I thought that the team came back with a different attitude. And I think that things started clicking for the team. I think that the team started gaining confidence. Obviously, in the first half, had Porto scored one or the two opportunities that they had. I remember one early on in the game by Galeno, like at 1 minute in, if they scored, then maybe we're back in our hole. But the fact that we withstood the pressure and then we came out with a different attitude, and then also with Musa and Jurasek, and not that I don't think that Jurasek made much of a difference, but certainly playing with Musa now and allowing those other guys a little bit of freedom right? With Musa pinning the center backs back, I thought that Benfica was a lot better. I thought that João Neves was awesome, both in the first half, despite being one of the few highlights of the first half. In the second half, I thought he was really good. And then in the 61st minute, Di Maria, off of a Kökçü pass, put us up ahead, which was, I thought there was just a natural progression of things, of the way that we were playing. And I thought that, you know, at that time, I thought that this is good momentum that we have here. We were playing better than Porto. It seemed that Porto now were the ones that were having a hard time getting out of their half. They had been playing long balls into the area where Ristich was to explore, between Ristich and Otamendi, to explore that area of the field, but Benfica was defending well. And then 7 minutes later, 2-0, with the goal from Musa from a Rafa pass. And I thought that at that time, I didn't think the game was going to get away from us. We were just much more dominant than them over those first 15, 20 minutes, even 30 minutes of the half. Of the second half, that I really didn't think the game was going to get away from us. What were your thoughts, Dave?
My thoughts on that second game, and I don't know if you guys have spoken about this in the previous podcast here, but Di Maria is just a couple of levels above everybody else on this team. You can still tell this guy's world class, and that goal with his outside of his foot, just. He's going to be something special to watch this season. Great to have us. Great to have him in the lineup and in the squad here. But yeah, I agree. Once we had that second goal, Porto never really they had that goal that was taken away. But other than that, I think we did well in shutting them down and limiting their opportunities. Obviously, I don't know if you want to get into the theatrics. After the 90th minute or not, but that was a whole different sideshow in itself there. But one thing I'll say, I'm glad some other teams may have gotten, how can I put this, would have gotten suckered in and gotten involved in those theatrics. And I think that's what they really wanted. They wanted to see a reaction from us. And if they were going to get a red, why not pull a couple of our other players and get them involved too? But got to give credit to the squad and to the players. They didn't get suckered into those theatrics, whether it was from Pep or from Sergio Conceição. But overall, we got a title over our main rivals. And I think that's the most important way. Even if it did get sour here in the Boavista match, I think it's the perfect way to open up a season over with a title win over your main rivals.
Yeah. And Carpe Diem is saying no excuses for any fear against Porto on match day 7. And I agree. It's important to get that all-important first win and that little bit of a mental edge, if you will. I think that in the last five times up until this point, the last five matches that we played against Porto, we only won one of the matches. So obviously there's something there. So it's important that, you know, you've made all the acquisitions. It's a second year for Roger Schmidt. There's no reason why you should face Porto with fear. You should be confident. You're the champion of Portugal, right? On paper, you have a better team. You just have to demonstrate it on the field, and I think that's what the team did, despite having that really bad first half. The second half was something that was more in line to what Benfica is capable of, and it's always good. It's always good to do that, because it's going to be a crucial year in Portuguese football, because only the first place team gets automatic birth into the Champions League. The second place team has to go through the qualifiers, and as a Benfica team, and with the success that we've had in the Champions League, we want to make sure that we're there this year again by winning the title, and every point is going to be fought for by the top four teams in Portugal this year, and don't discount Braga. But so it's important to get those mental edges and know that you could beat Porto at any given Sunday, same way that they could beat you, but you're in a much better position to beat them when you have a mental edge and you believe that you could beat them. So it's important that we got that win. So hopefully match day 7 won't be much of a problem for us. I think we might be home, if I'm not mistaken.
We are yeah, home.
Because
first half of the season, we play both Sporting and Porto at home, and the second half will be away.
Yeah, so it would be great. But look, a really good win. It's good to have the team getting these wins already, especially in the Super Cup against Porto, a Super Cup that our ninth Super Cup that we hadn't won since 85. That was the last time we won the Super Cup. So it's been quite a bit against
Porto.
Yes. And yeah. The reason why Porto has gained on us so much in terms of trophy count is because they've won a lot of Super Cups. So
they'll try to say that this cup doesn't matter now because we've won it, of course. But yeah, you've hit the nail right on the head there. They've gotten that their 84 titles, the majority of them from the Super Cup. So they can't have it both ways on that one. But you know, they'll try at least.
No, for sure, for sure. All right, so important. Now turning our attention to the Boa Vista game. And I was, I took some time off to go to Portugal to see my parents. There was also the Festa at my town, and I hadn't been there Festa in a while, so I kind of wanted to enjoy that. I started looking for tickets or asking people for tickets before we went. I didn't know whether or not I was going to be able to get tickets, but I figured I'd ask for it. But so I was able to get tickets, traveled from Alcochete to Porto to watch the game with some friends in the car. Got the seat, was in the central area of the stadium, but across from the benches, so it wasn't in the Benfica stand. But there was quite a few Benfiquistas where we were. As a matter of fact, there was quite a few jerseys, but I did see some guy and his kid, the security guy, telling him you can't wear that, and he had to take off his shirt. Was a British guy, so you know, it's always those scenes that you still see in Portuguese football, despite a lot of these clubs admitting and understanding that when Benfica visits them, this is kind of like. It fills their coffers, which helps pay a lot of expenses, and I think that they still treat Benfiquistas like the enemy. When in essence, we're really helping their finances, regardless of how high tickets are. But anyway, I'll give you the lineup. Vlaco Dimos was in goal. Ba Silva, Otamendi, Jurasic. Jurasic instead of Ristic was the difference for the Portuguese Cup on that side. Neves in Kokshu, Di Maria, Rafa, Auschnes, and Musa got the start. Musa, former Boa Vista player. And look, I the atmosphere was great in the stadium. I thought that Benfica started well. I thought that Boa Vista were a little physical at first. But Benfica was able to get the goal in a 22nd minute. Di Maria off of a pass from Rafa. And we really, in the stadium, the way it felt, it really felt that Benfica was on their way. But I think that we should never rest in our laurels. And look, I thought that going into the half 1-0, we could have gone up more, I think, to the half. But I turned to the guy next to me, and what I said to him was like, we got to get a goal to start the second half because we got to put this team away. Dave, how did you see the first half?
I don't know if you picked up on it in the stadium or not, but it felt like the team kind of took the foot off their pedal there after that goal, Di Maria goal in the 22nd minute. At least how it felt from my vantage point, that team was kind of in cruise control and kind of letting Boa Vista get back into this game. So I definitely agree with your sentiments that a goal to start off the second half would have been huge, because I didn't kind of like what I saw from this team going into the halftime, just controlling the game, but almost letting Boa Vista get back in there as well, where I would have liked to have seen them get another goal before the second half.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, I didn't feel it, but I certainly felt that we needed that goal, right? So it and maybe I got that feeling because we weren't playing to the potential or to the level where we said we got this completely under control, we're completely dominating Boavista. There was some domination there on our part, but I didn't think it was that much domination, and I just thought that we really needed that second goal, and that, like I said, that's what I said to the guy next to me. We really need a second goal. So had Benfica been really dominating that first half, maybe I'm not thinking too much of the second goal, and I felt that maybe in the second half that goal would eventually come as a result of our domination. But yeah, I mean, second half, Musa is ejected in a 50th minute, and then everything changes from there. Obviously playing with 10 men requires a little bit of a balancing act. And Dave, I don't know if I'm thinking about this substitution. I do understand why he did the substitution, why Roger Schmidt pulled out Di Maria. Because playing with 10 men, you obviously need all 10 guys to be defending. Di Maria's forte is not defending, obviously. So I get it. I get that that was the substitution. I just don't understand why Muratu. Because you're up 1-0, right? You're not dominating the game like I was just saying. And you put in a center back, and it's almost like, okay, well, you signal to Boavista, it's like, well, like, they just pulled out an attacker and they put a defender. So are they now defending? Do we have now more space to move our lines up? And I just thought that was a weird substitution. What do you think, Dave?
I think it's easy for us to second guess it because Boavista gets that goal right away, which is not something that Roger Schmidt was planning for in that moment. I think we got to do a better job right off that ensuing free kick we can see there, and that kind of throws whatever tactic or whatever game plan that he was hoping to play with the three center backs right out the window. But I think it's a lot of revisionist history that we're doing now that we conceded that goal and now we're playing with three center backs there. I think obviously ideally you don't want to concede right away, and we'll never know how that shapes up, but I would like to err on the side of caution, and the only reason is because that goal shouldn't have happened that quick. I think and you got to give credit to the team. It's not like the team sat back after that goal and tried to hold on to the 1-1 lead either. You got to still remember we did get the second goal back there for Rafa, and this team pushed forward to create those opportunities. I think it's just easy to point this one at Roger because the goal happens right away. And I don't necessarily think that's on Roger, Roger Schmidt conceding that goal right away.
Yeah, and a lot of people were criticizing that because if you follow football, and, you know, especially if you've been involved with football and playing at whatever level, you – very rarely do you make a substitution before a set piece. And the reason for that is because the guy that's coming in is always going to be an extra guy that may not know where his marking assignments are. So it's a lot better to leave the guys that are in and make the substitution after the set piece. And I'm not saying that was the reason why Benfica let up that goal. I thought that was, you know, I thought that Jurisic could have done better to clear that ball, but I don't think the blame falls all on him. I just think that, you know, as set pieces, you got to be able to shut them down. Because if a team can't score against you on the run of play, they're going to look to score against you on a set piece, which is an opportunity that they have. So, but I agree with Brunjil Rodrigues. He says, I don't agree with Murato, should have been Florentino. Yeah, Florentino would have made a lot more sense to have Florentino. We could still control the midfield, move Kokshu up to more of a center attacking mid to be like the first guy that presses the first phase of construction for Boavista. And I really felt that should have been That should have been the move. 55th minute, so Morata comes in 54th minute. 55th minute, they scored in the 75th minute. Rafa pulls one back for us and puts us back on the winning column. And I got to be honest, the whole stadium erupted when that goal happened. And because we were all watching the play, and it was almost like slow motion because there's a shot by Rafa. The keeper blocks it and hits the post, if I'm not mistaken, or the crossbar, if not mistaken. Comes back to João Neves. João Neves hits the ball. Keeper saves it again. Keeper saves it again and hit that. That's the one that hits the crossbar. And then Rafa puts it away. And I got to be honest, there was an explosion on the field or at the stadium because we had just tied the game, playing with 10 guys, and to see if he could go up again another goal, and thinking, okay, well, maybe we're in a clear now. We got this back. All we have to do is manage the game. It wasn't meant to be. In the 84th minute, and I can't believe how late these substitutions are happening also. In the 84th minute, Tino comes in for João Neves. Chiquinho comes in for Kökçü. Neres comes in for Rafa, and what it looked like, it's almost like he's refreshing guys, right? So because it's position for position, basically. And then in the 90th minute, we give up that penalty. Another play where there's a cross that comes across the box. Vlahko Dimitrić comes out, hesitates, does not cover. It's caught in no man's land. The ball is played across. Antonio Silva knew that he had to put something on the ball or on the player. Otherwise, it was going to be a goal. Because the whole goal was open, wide open in front of him. So he had to do something. So I really don't blame Tony Silva for the penalty. But Vlahko Dimitrić, man, ficou mal na fotografia. Dave.
Yeah, definitely. The hesitation killed him there. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know if he was thinking that if he went in too hard, he was going to cause the penalty, so he backed off. I don't know what went through that man's head, but that's Odysseus has to wear that one, because his hesitation ultimately leads to Tony Silva having to create that foul, right? And we can dissect it here and there, but it was ultimately a penalty, right? And
yeah,
that's on Vlahko Dimitrić, that one. And I think his time here is coming up to an end, and it's not going out. He's not going out on top. That's for sure.
Yeah, Jason Guaidola, some key mental blunders in that game from a team standpoint. Yeah, for sure. You can even argue that both Antonio Silva and Otamendi went for a head ball on that ball and they missed it, and then they were both out of the play, and that's how the guy that was with them that crosses the ball in, the Boavista player, he didn't go up for a head ball with them, but he got the second ball from them, so both players went up for that head ball. But you're right, there's some mental blunders, there's some lack of focus, and it's, I don't think it's, just because it's a preseason, it's not excusable, because those guys have been playing together for a while. As a matter of fact, most of this team has been playing together for a while. So I, you know, but Vlahko Dimitrić, and we all know, and I think that, you know, Vlahko Dimitrić is the punching bag of the week, obviously, and everybody loves to be punching on Vlahko Dimitrić, and certainly we were all frustrated, and we were frustrated with him and this, and then the third goal also. But again, third goal, another blunder, is a missed ball. Ba goes into the – I don't know if he's trying to do a roulette out of that play or if he's just trying to poke the ball away. It was just kind of a strange play. And then the two, both Morata and Otamendi, are basically – next to each other to defend that ball, rather than Morata taking a step back because Otamendi's there. Okay, so let me just go back, you know, just track back and just try to play this the best I can in terms of my positioning and what kind of passing lanes I could get to here. No, he just goes for the ball, and it's an easy ball. And then you got Vlatko Dimos, who's out of his box, almost. Well, he's in, I think he's in between the 6 and the 18. And then he sees him, and rather than coming out to rush him, he backs into his 6. And then when he gets closer is when he rushes him. You know, it's like a weird thing. And look, I'm not a goalie. I've never been a goalie, nor do I pretend to be a goalie or know about the goalkeeper position. But certainly with the game on the line, right, you got to take one for the team there. You go out and you tackle the guy. You clothesline him off the top rope right there. The guy doesn't even make it inside the box. But it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. Dave, what do you think, man? Cristiano's in the comments. He's not here, but he's in the comments.
He's here. At that point, like, it's whatever happens, everything that happens after the 90th minute kind of sours the comeback and the gara that this team showed there being 10 men or a man down for most of the second half there. But like Jason pointed out, a couple of mental blunders and it costs us 3 points. This had, I know I've seen a couple of people say it as well, but that Shav's game last year written all over it too, where we probably deserve to come out of it with 3 points, but a little mental error right at the end of the game and it cost us points when we were trying to go for the extra goal there to get the three points. But luckily, it's the first game of the season. Still a long ways to go, but you always want to get the season off on the right foot. And unfortunately, two mental errors, and we walk away with no points.
Yeah, I got to be honest, Dave. That ride back home, the 2.5 hours down south, that was a rough ride, man. That was a really, really rough ride because there's so much Vlatko Dimos beating you could you could do, and then. Who wants to talk about the game? Because we walked out of there in silence. All of Benfica's walked out of there in silence. But it was. Let me read some comments here. Diogo Reis saying Jurišić.
If it wasn't for Vlatko, I've been seeing a lot of people hating on Jurišić too. I don't know if it's because of the price tag that he comes with. I know he's made a couple of blunders to himself, and he's going to be out the next month. But I've seen. He's been getting some shtick from the supporters.
Diogo Reis doesn't agree. He says Jurišić was also good at Boavista, but he's gone for a month now. Diogo Reis says I had tickets for the general public and was also turned back with my son. That sucks, man. Ended up switching tickets with someone with Benfica in the Benfica supporter section. Yeah. Let's see. Jason Caidolas said some mental blunders. We already mentioned that. And he's also asking, does this team lack a backbone? I don't think I would look at it like that because I think that Otamendi still being there and him being the leader that he is, I think that is enough backbone. I think that you have guys in there that are experienced players. I think that even Kokshu, which is the newest player, is a guy that's played at nice level. He's played a national team. He's played in the Eredivisie. So I don't know if we lack a backbone. But I certainly, by looking at these guys, I don't think that is the case.
And Kokshu also said at the end of the game too, it's a new league and that he's getting used to it too, right? So I don't think we've seen the best Kokshu either to start off the season, right? But still got high hopes for the guy there.
Yeah, Brunjil Rodriguez says the penalty was a miss from Odiseas. Yep. You know, most of the people are done with Odiseas, Red Baron, Odi Patu.
I'll put a question out there for you, Alfredo, the referee on this podcast. Was that a straight red for Musa?
Yeah.
I thought so.
On this at the stadium, it didn't look as bad as on TV. And I remember I was at the stadium and I texted my dad and I said, "Was that a red card?" My dad said, "He went for the ball, his foot slipped on top of the ball or slid on top of the ball, and he lands right on the guy's legs. But when I look at the replay, it's like if it had gone with any more force, there was a possibility that he could have broken the guy's leg, because you almost feel it like it's bending because the guy's foot is his studs are on the grass. And yeah, I don't think Musa. Yeah, I don't think Musa argued much. You knew. Look, it's one of those things. You're just trying to play. You're just trying to play hard, and just so happened that he caught the top of the ball and it slipped. You know, but
it's crazy. You see how that match starts? There's like three yellow cards within the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. And
then you would think if anybody's gonna get a red card, it's Boavista that's in pole position to get the red card there. But it was and they made the same type of tackle that Musa did in the first, I believe, 10 or 15 minutes of the game too, and that was also only a yellow.
Yeah.
As well, I know a lot of the pundits reviewed that after the game, but yeah, I think that was a straight red. There was no really defending it. I've heard a couple of people saying that he got the ball first and then followed through on it, but I think it's still a red.
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, the studs that high on a leg is always going to be a red, and I thought that was absolutely the right call. But you're right. It's weird because referees, you know, they start with what their criteria is going to be for giving out yellows, but then halfway through the first half or towards the second half, they basically abandon the same criteria that you hadn't given yellow. So now, what was a yellow in the first half, now it's not a yellow in the second half, and it was odd. It was odd for me, and it's a shame that referees are not uniform in terms of their criteria. And look, I'm not blaming Benfica's loss on the refereeing by any means of the imagination, but certainly I thought that there was a few defensive blunders that cost Benfica dearly. And after the team fought so hard to get back into the winning side of the game, to give up two goals the way you did, it certainly hurts. It certainly hurts. It's the first game of the season. Nothing is lost, obviously. But if there was a game to lose points, maybe this is the game. Not that any game is good to lose points, but certainly you still got 33 games ahead of you to play. So not an ideal result. Obviously, as a Benfiquista, having gone to watch the game, it sucked. You know, it was really bad. But Benfica is Benfica, man. You got to continue support. I think there's options. I think the fact that Trubin has been working out is now with the team, and I think that Cabral is now with the team, is reassuring that maybe, you know, it's not all bad. I don't expect Odysseus to lose his starting spot anytime soon, but maybe within the next...
You don't, eh? You think they still go back to Vlaco this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they go back to Vlaco. But I do think that there's a possibility that Vlaco goes before the end of the winter transfer. I mean, the winter transfer. This summer transfer. So August 31st or whatever that date is. I do think that he may be gone. So it may be an easy decision for Roger after all. But certainly I don't foresee him losing his spot this early on. But we'll see. Dave, you have any stats on this game? We're moving. Cristiano's not here. We're moving like but wildfire.
Chris is active in the chat. So you're not reading his chat, and he said he's taking away the like. His like that. His.
I'm taking away my like. Let me see. What is Cristiano commenting here? Don't forget to smash the like button. Diogo Vaidormir. Before I forget, bye is another bum. Been telling you guys for years that he's a bum. He's talking about Vlaco Dimos. Dave, you're back. You know, it's Cristiano. I don't think he has any good, insightful comments. He's just talking shit, like always.
Some stats on this game here. Di Maria scores in consecutive games. First time in his Benfica career that he's done that. Only the second time that Benfica has suffered defeat at the Besa after being ahead at the halftime mark. The other time came in the 2017-2018 season. That was the Bruno Varela Frangu game, if
yeah.
you guys remember that one. And then first time in 10 years that Benfica have opened the season of the league with a loss there. So there was a stretch there where we were losing or drawing every game to start off the season, but 10 years since that's happened.
Yeah. Nick Valadon saying, we got the first stinker out of the way. Only sunny days from here on out. Diogo Reis says, I'll say this on Ba. We need someone other than João Vitor as our backup to push Ba. Yeah, I agree. It might be too late to get a backup to Ba. I don't know if it is. I think we still, we got a few days left in the market, 17. Today is
weeks.
2 weeks. 2 weeks. I just don't know that the guy that we want is out there. And the fact that we have João Vitor, maybe we suck it up. We go with it. So, we'll see. Diogo Reis says, I'm afraid Vlaco stays till the winter transfer.
Left back, too, with this injury. To
Nah, he's out a week. A week. 4 weeks. I think that Ristić could deputize. As a matter of fact, I think that it will give Ristić plenty of time or chances to make the spot his own. I think with this period where he's going to play, he's going to have a chance to say, I want this spot, and I'm your man. And look, if he doesn't, then we know that we're going to be in bad shape, Dave. Because then, you know, we got Jurasek, who is far from proving anyone right in terms of how good he is, right? As a matter of fact, he's probably proving a lot of people right that think he's shit. You know, it's going to be an opportunity that Ristić has, and I think that he hasn't. Last year didn't have a lot of opportunities because Grimaldo was playing so well, but certainly this time period now, and albeit early in the season, is a time for him to say, present, I'm here, and I want this position. And I think that we always say the competition is healthy, and I think a good Ristić is good enough. He's not Grimaldo, obviously, but a good Ristić is – I'm happy with a good Ristić, at least from some of the – good things that I've seen from him. They haven't been a lot, but certainly encouraging things sometimes. But we'll see. But I think that if Ristić doesn't work out, we're kind of stuck with two guys that are not really the best. Brunjil Rodriguez says, last time we started with we lost, we went for the trip. For the last time we started with a loss, we went for the tetra. Yep. Somebody was saying that last time we lost the first game, we won the second game, and we tied Sporting. Something like that. I think that our friend Nuno was telling us that. I don't remember the stat now. But anyway, Dave, first game's in the books. You know, now we get back to Estádio da Luz to play Estrela da Amadora. Estrela da Amadora, who was just promoted into the first division. Last time Benfica played Estrela da Amadora. Do you know that stat, Dave? Last time Benfica played Estrela da Amadora for the league.
For the league. I'm going to say 08-09 because I have it here that yep. That was the last time they were in the first division.
08-09. Benfica has played them twice. After that, but both for League Cups and Portuguese Cups. Saturday, 8:30 local at Estádio da Luz. No Musa, obviously, will be serving a red card suspension, and no Jurasek. Dave, what numbers do you have on Estrela, or are they too new for you?
Well, using the old club included in these stats here, but historically 29 wins, 6 draws, 2 defeats, and like I said, it'll be their return to the first division since the 08-09 season, and they last weekend returned with a 1-0 defeat against Guimarães there.
Yeah. Do you think Cabral gets a start? Cristiano's saying, can't wait to see Cabral can do in Bum Moose's place. Cristiano's being very friendly tonight.
Well, maybe next week Cabral will also be a bum, and it's whoever's in that position is the bum.
Then now all of a sudden we need to go to the market.
Yeah, no, I think you got to give that to Cabral. You don't pay $20 million to keep him on the bench, especially when Musa is not available. So I'm interested to see how he does in this match at home against Estrela. So looking forward to seeing what Cabral can do for the squad here. And I'm hoping that Trubin gets a start as well.
Come on, Dave.
I don't know if that's just being too negative on Vlaco, or, but that would, if we could get both of those guys starting, that'd be A plus in my book. So.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, I know that Tankstead wasn't an option at Bessa, right? Because when we needed a forward, we didn't put him in. But you know, and I know a lot of people are high on Cabral starting, but. Are we forgetting Tankstead? Does Tankstead get the start instead, Dave?
Well, he was on the bench, but they never brought him in. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, well, and before the game, it was that Schaldrup didn't even get called to the match day squad as well. But no, I think it's just based on the price tag that we pay for Cabral. I don't think. You go with a Tankstead in this position. If Cabral's ready to go and he's healthy to do it, I think Roger puts him in there and see what he can do with this team.
Yeah, yeah. Now, look, Christian is saying I'd love to see Trubin there, but it would be harsh for Vlaco Dimos. Look, it's what, like 4 or 5 seasons for Vlaco Dimos now? First game at home of the season. Him not getting a start, man. That yeah, I agree. That is harsh, but we'll see.
What's it going to take to get Trubin to start? Did Vlaco Dimos leaving on his own terms so that it doesn't look as savage that we're kicking him to the side, or an injury? Because clearly we signed Trubin for a reason, not to be on the bench as Vlaco Dimos' backup. And competition is healthy, right? But I think it's unfortunate that Vlaco Dimos, instead of using it to make himself better, I think he's going to want to pack up and go elsewhere.
Look, that makes the decision easy, right? For Roger Schmidt and Benfica. And certainly, you know, when the going gets tough, you pack your bags, right? So I don't know. I'm just curious to see what would happen. We haven't heard any. Well, actually, there was a piece of news this week that there was a team that was interested in him. I don't know if it was a German team or if it was an Italian team. I'm not sure. I thought I read something. But yeah, that certainly makes the decision a lot better. But everything that I've been hearing about Trubin has been good things. Mature. Over his age, quiet but a leader, has been captain to youth teams, and I think that says a lot, right? Because it's not too often that you see goalies be captains. You'd really need to have a strong personality and strong leadership skills. And if he's been selected at his young age for U teams, that says something about the personality and the influence that he has on the team. So we'll see. So, what else we got to talk about, Dave? It's a short one.
Short. Let's see if anybody
saying,
the chat saying
it. Trubin only plays if Vlaco Dimos stinks it up for the next few games or leaves before the deadline. Yeah. Brunjil Rodriguez says Trubin starts Saturday. Give away Odiseas. Yeah. We'll say Nick Valdez says, well, we'll say this. If we don't see Tankstead at all this weekend, then he probably isn't in our long-term plans. Chris, what's your guy saying on Felix? Felix is going to Barcelona most likely. We'll see. But yeah, it's, you know, Nick Valadon says, yeah, bring Felix home. We need to fix him. Yeah, Griezmann had some words for you have advice for Felix. You know, every player goes through a tough time. You just got to grin and bear it. You got to be a professional. People are paying you a lot of money, man. Put in that effort. So regardless of what you're doing, regardless of whether your boss counts on you or not, you got to put in that effort because that's what they pay you for. And you kind of want to leave, you know, you don't want to leave a club on bad terms and leave. First of all, you're going to leave a bad taste in fans' mouths. And then as a football fan, people are always going to be suspicious of you for being a prima donna. All right, so if things don't go your way, you're just going to do a little temper tantrum and you're going to go whatever you feel like it. So, I don't know. The Felix thing is a delicate thing. I think the longer it goes on, the bigger chance Mifika has of bringing him, because then all the options will start closing up. But I think that I don't think he comes to Mifika. But I could be wrong.
We gotta wait for our boy Fabio. Or
Fabrizio
to tweet it, and then we'll have Chris on for his reaction on
yeah.
it. But yeah, I think there's still, like we said, a couple of weeks here to go with the transfer market being open. I know Gedge's name keeps being thrown out, that he's returning back on another loan to us. So there's still some time to make a couple of moves here and there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know if Benfica's roster is completely closed. I think that maybe we're looking at a couple, one or two positions, surgical positions. I don't know if Roger Schmidt has had time to assess the new faces and see if they are what he was expecting. But I don't know. But the window's still open. So, what else? That's it, man. Brunjil Rodriguez says, you guys around Boston, I'll be in town for Billy Idol concert. No, we'll not be in Boston.
I bet you there'll be some, there's some Freddies in the chats
that are Timo's in Boston. Cristiano says he has an OnlyFans account. Diogo, you have to subscribe to my OnlyFans for that type of news. Yep, there you go.
He's not wrong.
Some news and some flesh from Cristiano.
that Borat mankini that he was
right.
supposed to wear.
He's saving that for the OnlyFans channel. That's how you do it. All right, everybody. This is a short one. Cristiano's not here. Not too much to talk about. I did a lot of talking. Dave did some stats. And, you know, we'll be back next week. Next week, we'll break down this Estrela da Amadora game and their return to Estádio da Luz. They had lost their first game against Portimonense, 3-1. So they're looking to show themselves at Estádio da Luz. And that's it. That's all we got. Everybody, thank you for joining us. Carrega Benfica. And don't despair. And don't go nuts. All right? And don't go on Vlaco Lima's social media and cuss him out either. Come on. Better than that. Later, Dave.
Ciao.